Mr. Bob Hingston, Real One. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hingston?
Born 1st of the 10th, 1943, Plymouth, Devon.
Could you tell us something about your family background? Were the family from Plymouth? What did your parents do, that sort of thing?
Family were from Plymouth. My father was in the Navy, was killed in the war. That's about it.
How did the family cope with that? I mean, you must have been, what, one or two when he was killed?
3 weeks old. 3 weeks.
How did that affect the family? I mean, it's obviously not going to be good. How did your mum cope?
With difficulty, I would think, but as I say, I didn't know much about it at that age.
And what do you remember of your childhood?
Very good. Yeah, very, very good childhood. Good fun.
Which school did you go to? What education did you get?
I went to a primary school and then to a secondary modern.
And how did you do at school?
Fairly well. Fair. Nothing exceptional. Just a normal fellow, I suppose.
How old were you when you left school?
16.
So that'd be 1959?
Yes.
And what were you going to do?
I went into the RAF.
Now, why did you join the... What made you join the RAF?
To get away from Plymouth, I think. I just wanted to see the world and have something different.
How did you go about joining?
I joined as a boy entrant.
So, what did you have to do to... I mean, was there any exams?
Yeah, there were exams. We went to RAF Cardington in Bedfordshire for an induction board type thing.
And you passed that?
Yeah, no problem.
So where did you have to go to? Would you remember where you went and when?
When I joined up, I went to RAF St Athan for 18 months.
Was that a training centre?
That was a boy entrant training school, yeah.
Was that what it was called, boy entrant training school?
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of your time there? That'd be where you got your basic training, wouldn't it?
Basic training and trade training, yes.
Well, tell us about the basic training first. What did they train you in? What do you remember of basic training?
Not a lot. Marching. Training with guns and the general discipline, I suppose.
Did you enjoy it? The drill and everything else?
Yeah, it was always something different. Yeah, it was okay.
What about your trade training? Now, what trade were you going in as? Had you already decided, or was it picked for you at St Athan's?
It was picked for you.
And what were you going to do?
Airframe fitter.
Now, how did it? What is the trade of it? Tell us what you have to learn.
Repair of aircraft structures. Engines, pipes, all that sort of thing on the general structure of aeroplanes.
So what do you have to learn to do that? I mean, that's what you do, but how, you know, is it, what sort of skills do you have to develop?
Oh, make things. We were making things, fairings for aeroplanes and mock-ups and all that sort of thing. I don't remember a lot of it.
And so you were there from 59 till when?
61.
How did you get on with the other lads? You know,
very well. Yeah, enjoyed it. Kept in touch with a lot of them until I left, I suppose.
No bullying or anything?
No.
What about the instructors? What do you think of them?
Yeah, good.
What was good about them?
Well, they looked after you. They weren't, as you see on the television now, you know, monsters. They were decent, nice, caring type people to me. You know, they always looked after you and tried to do the best. Jumped on you if you were a bit naughty, I suppose. But we were only kids. We were only 16 and 17. So.
Now, where did you go after St. Athan?
RAF Henlow in Bedfordshire.
And what were you doing there?
Radar parts.
What do you mean radar parts?
It was a radio engineering unit, and we made parts for... You never knew what the finished product was, but you just made parts for everything. For the signals, I think, mostly.
And what was life like at RAF Henlo?
Good. Yeah.
In what way? What was good about it?
Food was good, accommodation was good, social life was excellent.
So you were enjoying yourself?
Yeah.
How long were you at Henlo?
About 3 years, I think.
What, 64?
Yeah.
63, 64. Were you there when you went for the test?
Yes.
Now, I mean, the test is why we're really here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell us how exactly did you come to be chosen for the test?
A thing came out on the station, routine orders. People needed for experiments into the common cold. You'd be paid for your attendance at these tests, and it was a week away and a weekend pass afterwards. So
now,
I volunteered.
Now, why did you volunteer, if you see what I mean? Just explain it for them.
Just for a break, just to get away from Henlo for a week and just have a look at something different.
Now, when was it exactly? Was it 64? What year? What month? Do you remember the date?
I've got them all somewhere, but I think it was March 64.
Now, and it was at the research station. What was it called? Well, we can look that up, actually. Research. It's the research station, bottom down, anyway, isn't it? Did they say what it was called at the time?
It was CDE Porton or something. CDE Porton Down.
Now, so you volunteered to go. Did you have? Was it? What about pay? Were you getting a special bonus for it, or
yeah.
What pay were you getting?
You got extra pay for every experiment you took part in. So, like on the Monday morning, they said, "Do you fancy an injection in your leg?" And that's worth 7 and 6, or whatever.
So it wasn't pay for the week; it was pay for
per experiment. It was paid for whatever experiments you'd done. The more you'd done, the more money you got.
Now, so what happened? Did you have any idea before you went that the experiments could be dangerous, or were you just told it was going to be common cold?
Once we got there, we knew that it wasn't the common cold.
Right, but before you went, you didn't?
We didn't know before we went, no.
Now, how did you get down to Porton Down? Well, it's not far from Henlo, I suppose, but
train.
And were there any other volunteers on the train?
Who went with me? Yeah, there was somebody from Henlo. We went together, two of us, yeah.
And do you remember his name?
Mackay.
So he'd be aircraftman Mackay?
Yeah. SAC Mackay, I think he was, yeah.
Senior aircraftman?
Yeah.
And Mackay, that's spelled M small c big c, wasn't it?
M small c k a y, I think.
Right. Now, what do you remember of Mackay? What was he like as a bloke?
Very strong, athletic type of lad. Ginger hair. Very full of life. Happy go lucky sort of fella.
Now, what happened when you got to work to the station? I'm not sure which station it is for Porton now.
There was a bus waiting for us and took us to the main guard room.
And how many of there were? Or was it just the two of you?
I think there was about eight altogether. There was about eight people there that I seen.
Now, what did they tell you when you got there? Because this is where you were told it wasn't the common cold. What briefing did they give you on what type of experiments they were going to do?
They didn't really. They just said, we'll see you in the morning in the medical centre. And when we got there, they just said, this test is worth whatever it was, 3 and 6, 5 and 6, 6 and 6, whatever it was. Do you fancy doing it?
Now, did they tell you what the test was?
They half explained it.
So what was the first test? I mean, was it just you? They asked you all to do it?
I think we were individually that we were asked. I think we were asked individually what tests we wanted to do and whether you wanted to do it or not.
And what were you asked about?
Well, I remember the first one was they strapped my leg. They asked if they could strap my leg in protective clothing and simulate an injection into my leg. They said that if a nerve gas had been dropped, you would have a certain amount of time to inject yourself to save your life, basically. And you had to thread this needle through your protective clothing and into your skin and empty it into your, empty the syringe into your leg.
Now, what was in the syringe, really?
They said water, but I've since found it was atropine.
Now, what's atropine? Do you know what it is? They can look it up.
Well, I know now that they use it if someone has a heart attack. They give you atropine to try and save your heart from damage.
So you basically, now what do you remember of that test? How did you do with it, if you see what I mean? Did you manage to do it in time?
I done it in time, yeah, but it wasn't nice because the needle seemed very big, you know, but I did get it into my skin and I did inject myself, yeah.
So, and did you have any reaction to the atropine or whatever it was? You think it was atropine now?
Well, on the information I got from Porton Down, it was atropine. They admit that it was atropine.
So they lied to you about that?
Yes, because they said it was distilled water.
And did it have an effect on you?
I think in later years it did, yes.
But at the time?
No.
So you were unaware, for you, as far as you could say, it could have been, it wasn't, but it could have been water. It didn't have an effect on you.
No.
How was the test? I mean, did it worry you at all, or did you start thinking perhaps this wasn't a good thing, or were you just perfectly happy?
I thought this is not a good idea.
Why? What were your concerns after that first one?
What was coming next? And it seemed difficult to back out once you were there.
Why was it difficult to back it? Can you just explain that a bit more? Because that's partly how they worked it, I believe, was that it's difficult to back out.
Well, I thought that they'd send me home. They'd send you back to your base. They would just say, well, you're no good to us, you go back to your base. So we thought, well...
And why didn't you want that? Wouldn't that have been a good thing, or...?
Well, no, the food was excellent, the pay with the money was good. It was a way of making a few pounds.
Now, was it just it was two tests a day, wasn't it, I believe?
That's about
for
what
you.
I remember. That's about what I'd done, yeah.
What was your second test?
I think it was the burns on the arm.
Now, tell me about that. What exactly did they do? Is that mustard gas? What is it?
No, they put my arm in a machine.
Oh, no, yes, you told me off tape. Tell me on tape, because yes. This is the one that no one's heard of.
Yeah, they put my arm in a machine and put like a laser or a heat beam through this machine onto my arm. And then the arm jerked forward and they'd done it again. Obviously, they turned it up a bit or something. And the machine jammed and I got about 4 blasts in one place, which left a large blister and burn on my arm.
How bad? You know, I mean, was it something that bothered you, or was it just a sort of burn that you could cope with?
It was a painful burn.
But not enough to require hospital or medical treatment?
No.
Did you have any medical treatment for it? I mean, did they treat it?
No.
What do you think of that test?
Well, it was painful. Very painful. But that's about all. It was something that you just shook off and thought, well, put it down to experience.
So it hurt. If you'd been offered either of those tests again, which could have happened,
yeah,
would you have refused either of them?
I'd have refused both.
So you didn't, whatever you thought, you didn't like, you know, the money wasn't good enough for it?
No.
Even without knowing anything else?
No.
So so what would you do in, you know, what would you do in the evening? You see what I mean? So that's the first day, or rather, you know, it's the second day. Really,
went out for a drink.
Were you allowed to?
Yeah.
Where would you go?
We went to Salisbury, I think.
The whole mob of you?
No, just me and Mackay. Went to Salisbury and had a few beers and something to eat. And that would be about it, I suppose. Made our way back on the bus or whatever. I can't remember the transportation system in those days.
The next day, this would be the third day. You'd arrive on the first day, second day of those two tests, and go to the pub in the evening. The third day, what happened then? The two tests then?
Can't remember.
You don't remember what those tests are?
No.
Okay. What's the next test you do remember?
Was the drips of stuff on my arm, which they dripped on in like patterns of six, and then bandaged it up, and then another six, and bandaged it up. I didn't know what the substance was. They never told us what the substance was they dripped on.
Now, was it onto the bare arm, or was it onto protective clothing?
Onto the bare arm.
Just dripping, and it was what sort of liquid was it? Could you see it?
No, it was a plain, colourless liquid.
A clear, colourless.
Yeah. Colourless liquid.
And just a couple of drops?
Six drops in a pattern. A pattern of six, like a dice.
Now, when it touched you, I mean, what was the reaction as they did it? Could you feel it?
None at all.
You couldn't feel it at all?
No.
And any follow-up reaction just, you know, that same day?
I think they bandaged it up and looked at it every day, and I think it, after a couple of days, it started to burn a bit and it left different marks.
Was it bad?
No.
So not enough to bother you?
Not enough to cause you any problems. No.
And what was this liquid? Because you found out it was...
I've since found out it was mustard gas.
A liquid form of mustard gas?
Yeah.
Would you have allowed them to drip mustard gas onto your arm if you'd known?
No.
Not for money?
No. Not for anything, no.
Had they mentioned mustard gas to you as part of the test?
No, never.
Now, any other tests you remember? What's the next? There's one more test you remember, I think?
The next test I remember is going into a gas chamber with a respirator on. And I think there was about four of us in there. And they dropped a capsule into the centre of the chamber. It was just a wooden hut, and some sort of fumes came off, and they asked to take your respirator off and stand this gas or smoke, whatever it was, for as long as you could, if you could bear it, how long you could bear it. And I lasted about 3 minutes, I would think, and I went outside and vomited.
Now, what were the symptoms while you were in there? How did this get?
Couldn't breathe. Just couldn't breathe. It was just something that you just couldn't breathe. It was like a smoke-filled room. It was just horrible, terrible.
And any other symptoms? Well, it made you sick straight after. But anything else? So you couldn't get your breath. Anything else?
So I vomited when I got outside. And that was the only night I didn't go out that night, because I felt lousy.
Any other symptoms, or was it just nausea?
Nausea. Yeah.
That's it.
And a just feeling a little bit lethargic.
Now, any other test? Do you know what that gas was?
No, never found out. No, it's not. It's not even mentioned at Portendown under my name. It's not mentioned at all.
So, as far as you're concerned, their records of what the tests are not complete.
No.
As far as you, from your personal experience, you don't judge.
No, they're not. No.
Any other tests you remember?
No.
So they were the ones. Now, how? So there were, because you think there were 10 tests in all, but you don't remember any of the other tests, is
no.
that? Yeah. You don't remember what they did.
Right. I can't recall them.
It is 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago.
Yeah, I can't remember the others at all. No.
Now, did they do any medical tests on your general medical condition before you started and during
that?
Not
at all. No, and nothing on my RAF medical notes to say I even attended Portendown.
So, when you went, there was no medical to start, no medical to finish. They only monitored your arm and the direct results of the test. They didn't check your overall breathing or intelligence or rest of it before you started.
No, nothing at all.
Now, what did you think at the time? You just enjoyed it, I suppose, the week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was quite an enjoyable week. The food was good.
Did anybody give you any inclination as to that the tests were dangerous?
No.
While you were there?
Never. No. We never signed anything or... No, it's never explained that it could be dangerous or what it was.
Now, so that was just a week. For you, you think it was March 1964. And as for you, it was a one-off week.
Yeah.
Now, when you went back, did you have any problem with your arm or...?
No. Not at all.
So you went back to work to RAF Henlow?
Henlow, yeah.
And no troubles?
No.
So tell us a bit about... So where did you go? We just followed the rest of your RAF career through. You know, not in great detail, but where did you go next? You were there till six... How soon did you move after the tests?
After them tests, I went to RAF Camaxa in Aden.
Now, that's there was trouble in Aden then?
Yeah, there was a lot of trouble out there.
You were still an aircraft fit. We always were an aircraft fit.
Yeah.
What were you senior by then, or were you still just a class one?
I was a junior tech by then. Junior technician.
And what was your job out there?
Same repairing aeroplanes out there. I was attached to a squadron.
Which one?
Hunters. I can't remember the squadron number.
And what was a Hunter like as an aircraft for maintenance and repair?
Good, very good.
No real problems with it?
No, it was a good aeroplane.
What's the sort of maintenance routine? What would you do on a typical, you know, when you were doing the maintenance? What would you check for in particular?
Just check everything visually.
So it was a visual check?
Yeah.
And
anything reported, you had to investigate it.
Now, what were living conditions like at the base? You were on the base, I presume?
Yeah. Not too bright, very hot, sweaty. Overcrowded.
What about the food? Was it English-style food, or...?
Yeah, it was basic kitchens, I suppose. You know, basic food. Nothing too bright. Too much drink, I suppose, most of the time.
Did you drink a lot in those days?
Enough, yeah. Yeah, enough.
Where would you drink?
In the Naffy or go outside of the camp to the local restaurants.
What was your drink of choice in those days?
Beck's and Tiger.
The beers from out there?
Local.
Bottle beers?
Yeah.
And how many would you drink? How many pints in a night, if you put it into pints?
Four or five.
So not that heavy drinking, then?
No.
Social drinking, but a bit heavy.
Yeah, four or five pints, I suppose.
And were you enjoying the life out there?
Well, the camaraderie was good. But, I mean, it was scary at times.
Tell me about the troubles, because, you know, there was the troubles going on. The Yemen Republic was being, you know.
Yeah.
What did you see of the fighting?
Well, we heard lots of shooting all at nights and hand grenades going off and bombs going off and cars being blown up. There was a lot of that going on. We had to do guard duties every third day.
What were guard duties like? Where were you guarding? On the base?
Yeah, gate entrances, airplane pans. But anything that was accessible to the locals.
Any problems while you were on guard?
I never came across anything myself, no.
So it was scary because things were going off and people were shooting, but you weren't. You personally weren't attacked?
I was never shot at all, no. No, thank God.
And anything else you remember about your time in Aden?
No.
So you were there how long?
2 years.
To 66?
Yeah.
And then what?
I was posted to RAF Benson in Oxfordshire.
And who were you working with then?
Very small team there. It was the Queen's flight, so it was very little work, very little to do.
What, can you explain from what the Queen's flight is? Because people want to know. What was it made up of?
A couple helicopters, red helicopters, and a couple Domini aeroplanes, what they call the private jets now. Just little things.
So that was actually used by the Queen?
Yeah.
So did you find it a privilege to work on them, or do you not think about it?
Didn't think about it.
What else were you doing there? Was that all you were doing, working on the Queen's flight?
That's about all, yeah.
And how long was that for?
I stayed there for about a year, I think.
Till when? 67?
67, yeah.
Were you still a junior technician or already had promotion?
No, I'm still a junior technician.
So what happened next then?
I was posted to RAF St Athan back in South Wales.
And who was that with?
That was with 32MU, that was 32 Maintenance Unit. We used to have Vulcan jets and come in every couple of weeks for overhauls, and we used to just repetition work.
When you work on it, on Vulcan's quite a well-known aircraft. What would you work on? They come in for an overhaul. What is an overhaul on a Vulcan?
They used to take it to bits and almost rebuild it, and you invariably got the same part of every one. So if
broke or needed replacement,
needed repair, it was getting past its days for flying. So you got the same place, like a wing tip. You got a wing tip every week, and it was always the same wing tip, and you just made another one.
So it wasn't a matter of getting a spare. You'd make
a new one, yeah.
And anything happened while you were at St Athan?
No.
Now, any reactions in any way to the tests? Because by then, this is what, 4 or 5 years later. Was there any sign of anything?
I was feeling lethargic. I couldn't play sports in them days. I seemed to be getting lethargic and not feeling too good.
And did you think in any way that could be down to the tests, or did you put it down to just life, or
I just put it down to my lifestyle. But no, I never associated it with Porton Dam.
At this stage, you weren't worried about the tests?
No.
What about on your arm? Had there been any problems with your skin on your arm?
The burn was still there.
That's the burn from the laser or the heat beam?
Yeah, it was there for about 8 years, the scar.
And what about the mustard gas areas? No. So, what next after St Athan?
I went to... RAF Salita in Singapore.
Did you like the idea of a foreign posting like that, or would you rather have been back in England?
No, I asked for it.
Now, why did you ask for it?
I just fancied getting away. Bit of sunshine, bit of seeing the world. So I put in for Singapore, and I got Singapore.
Now, when did you go there then? Roughly.
When did I go there?
How long had you been at St. Athan? You were there 67 to...
About 18 months, 2 years, I suppose.
So to 69?
Yeah.
So Singapore, 69?
69 to middle of 71, I went to Singapore.
And what was it like out there? Still a junior technician, or were you a senior technician, runner?
Corporal. I was a corporal out there.
Did it make a difference having that promotion? What difference did it make to you?
Yeah, it made a lot of difference. You had the use of your own corporal's club. Quite a good life. We never had any work to do because there was no aeroplanes at Salita. We'd done the one helicopter in the 18 months I was there.
So what? You didn't have any air fitting to do then?
We had one helicopter that had been shot at. And it had bullet holes all underneath the undercarriage of it, and we had to repair that. But that's the only job I remember doing out there.
Did you enjoy it? What was it like out there? Did you enjoy it?
Terrific. Absolutely terrific.
What was so good about it?
The weather. I had my own boat. I had a nice little bungalow up in Salita Hills. Lovely friends. It was just a terrific 18 months.